Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. If you've ever spoken with a farmer, some of them don't waste words, but what they do say is often on point. This is the case with former Northumberland Federation of Agriculture President Sid Atkinson. Here is his response to agricultural mapping in the county after he attended a public meeting in Campbellford earlier this week. I'm so pleased to have with me today, Sid Atkinson, the former president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. Welcome back, Sid.
Thanks, Rob.
First of all, I'd like to begin with asking you about a meeting you attended last night in Campbellford around the agricultural mapping. Can you tell us what happened at the meeting?
Well, it seemed to be a very well-attended meeting. A lot of interest there. There was questions I had about purpose of this and scope of this and where they want to go with that, that kind of stuff. There was a confusion in my behalf on something they called candidate areas. They had the prime ag land kind of mapped out, not kind of generally mapped out, the areas it's in. But there was a lot of the map colored in yellow, and they called it candidate area, which means it was under consideration to be called prime ag land. But it seemed to be very general. It didn't really cover the land that's too steep or too swampy or too not really suited. It was fairly generalized. There was a soils expert there that from Western Ontario, and I had quite a conversation with him, where there was like nearly 100 years ago, there was a mapping of the soils in Northumberland County. And I still refer to that map, and I'm amazed at how accurate it is. They had they have contour lines in that map. They have wetlands, everything, all different soil types on there. And from the land that I farm, it's amazingly accurate. But there is certain soil types that they want to update on that, I guess. And there is a growing concern, I believe, that we need to protect good farmland. And I'm right on side with that.
There's lots in there to talk about, Sid. So let's break some of that down and explore it a little bit more. We're talking about protecting farmland. The old number used to be what I think was 175 acres a day we were losing across Ontario of farmland. And I believe now Stats Canada just recently updated that to over 300 acres per day. Can you explain to the listener?
319 acres a day, Rob.
319. Can you explain to the listeners why that is so significant?
That number just blows me away. Like 319 acres, that's basically a farm a day. And they're already talking about food shortages, like this war in Ukraine and Russia. Two major food producing areas of the world. They're talking about possible shortages this fall. They're talking about there will be, they're not saying there may be, there will be there will be certain populations, likely around Northern Africa, that depends on the Ukraine for a lot of wheat exports. There will be serious hunger there. To protect food sovereignty in our country and to mess with good land. Once it's bulldozed, once it has a parking lot on it, once it has been paved over, it's just not going to ever be brought back into production. The only other way to do it is to clear more land, and the good land is already cleared. And there's cutting down trees and bulldozing stumps and draining swamps, that seems to be kind of frowned on. It's really should be a major concern for every country to be, to the extent possible, to be able to feed their population off their own land base.
Let's talk about prime agricultural land, because that term gets tossed around a lot. That seems to be something that the county's interested in saving. Can you explain to us why it's so important to save this prime agricultural land from any kind of development in Northumberland?
Well, prime agriculture land, you got to understand there's like seven different classes of land. And number one land, really, that's not very much of it in Northumberland County. It's mainly Western Ontario, where a lot too hilly, too stony, too swampy, too many whatever. But there is a lot of good class two land. And class three and four land, it's usually rocky, it's usually hilly. But if you have a good farmer on it and able to tile drain it, able to clear the fence bottoms, able to get the right fertility in it, you can turn class three into class two, class four into class three. But it costs money, takes time, and a lot of work. So my advantage, as I have the equipment, I have the manpower here, don't mind hard work myself. We've taken a lot of that class two or class three and turned it into class two land. And it's very good productive land, but it takes work, it takes money, it takes time. And being a dairy farmer, we have lots of manure, which really seems to build that organic matter, builds that moisture holding capability, and we can grow alfalfa for our herd. And that really, really works well on this hillier soil, keeps it from eroding. The alfalfa fixes nitrogen in the soil, and it really works well.
Now, last night at the meeting, they were talking about these marginal lands, the not so prime land, but possible farming potential. What got said at the meeting about that land, and what impressed you most about what they were saying?
Well, the not so prime land, the marginal land. To me, Rob, if you are driving along and you see red cedar growing on land, you know that it's very shallow soil there. There's limestone underneath it. There's not much topsoil there. There's not much moisture holding capacity to it. There's not a whole lot you can do about that land. It used to be pasture land, a lot of it, but it's been taken out of production, and for a reason, just weren't making money on it. The beef thing with pasturing, it's just tough to make a living just solely off of beef cattle. As far as doing, like, there's some farms now doing the grass-fed thing, but it's a direct-to-consumer market. Really calls for good marketing to make that happen. and it calls for a very educated consumer to want that. And if they want it, they'll pay for it.
So as farmers, is it important to save that land, or is it significant that we start to develop that if that's land that could be developed?
Look, people got to live somewhere. They got to build their houses somewhere. So let's build on that marginal land and save the prime agriculture land.
Speaking of that, I know farmers in the past have used severances as a means of generating income for themselves. And, you know, we drive along many roads in Northumberland and you see a lovely farm, and then along the edge of the road, there's a whole bunch of houses. Is it important to maintain the ability of farmers to be able to sever lots for economic reasons?
For economic reasons. You said a mouthful there, Rob. Okay. Yeah. There will be places along just about any road that you could put a house there. And it's not going to impact a whole lot. I've got farms that have been chopped up with severances. It just means I have a whole bunch more neighbors. It just means that I'm going to find golf balls that have been knocked out into my field. I'm going to find what's left of somebody's corn rows thrown out in my field, lawn clippings, all that kind of stuff. And one subtle thing, they get creative with their lawnmowers and just keep moving their boundary back into my field. Oh, dear. But like I said before, people are going to have to live somewhere. People want to have their own home. People want to have that country living experience. But let's put that into that their marginal land that instead of along those good fields. And maybe there is a corner woodlot somewhere that you could put half a dozen houses in there. Nice spot to live too. And the other part is sometimes we buy a farm and we don't have a need for the house. And there are rules out there that you can sever a surplus farmhouse. That still makes sense. It's, what are you going to do? Get into the landlord game? And we're farmers, we're not landlords.
But in terms of economics, I appreciate that you see it in terms of people having access to housing. And that's obviously a big factor considering the potential growth of Northumberland. But I'm wondering in terms of the economics of farming. I've attended meetings and listened to severances being debated around the idea that the farmer needed that income. Maybe it was a bad year for the crops. Maybe, you know, they wanted to buy new equipment or anything, but they saw severing lots as an end to an economic means to help sustain the farming operation. In that context, is having the ability to sever lots still an important principle?
Rob, that's a tough one. I get it. Beginning farmers and whatever, looking to be able to make it all affordable and make it all work. But it's not a really a sustainable model, is it? If you're going to farm, you're in it for the production income. If you're going to sever lots, how are you not just a developer?
Now, what about small farms, organic farms, you know, small lot farms where people grow vegetables and things, sell them at farmers markets? You see these sort of tiny operations. Is there a place for that? And should those lands be saved as well? Or should those be considered something else? How do you view the sort of the small, the very small sort of market farms that we see around the county? And what's their place within this agricultural mapping in your mind?
I say good for them. If they can, they have to be a great marketer, number one. You got to have good product too. But how are they not farmers?
So should we be preserving those lands as well then, Sid, do you think?
Definitely.
Now that you've had some time to reflect on the meeting and to think about what agricultural mapping means, are you supportive of the county's efforts to designate these lands and to start to have a system of protecting and controlling what's going on for agricultural lands in Northumberland?
Oh, it's definitely an important part of a planning process for any community, any municipality to have planning for growth, for agriculture. And I guess our focus is we're going to need to have growth. We're going to need to have a tax base to build those roads and maintain them. But let's focus on the residential areas that already have the services required for these, for that growth. Let the growth happen there and let the farmers farm. You just give us, I always said, leave a farmer alone and he'll do his job and he will keep you fed.
Sid Atkinson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Well, thank you, Rob.
That was Sid Atkinson, former president of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. Before I sign off, I want to share a short interview with Keith Herring, the co-chair of the DBIA. As you listen, you will hear a mix of compassion for the tragic loss, but also the focus to dispel any fears people have about shopping in the downtown. Have a listen. Tell me how you found out about the shooting.
I was actually at work and somebody texted me.
And what was your immediate reaction when you heard the news?
I went upstairs to see if where it was in proximity to my office. It's right across the street. And to see if I could be of any assistance, but there was already police on the scene, so I just steered clear of the police barricades.
Now, what impact do you think this event has had on the downtown?
Well, there's been a lot discussion in terms of the safety aspect and what people's opinions of the issue was. We've had a lot of discussions with the members about what they want to see, and we're trying to solicit as many opinions as we can as to what they want to do, what they want to see from the DBAA. But the immediate impact is people are fearful of going downtown again. And I think for the next few days, that will, you know, kind of wash away. But immediately people were not coming downtown to avoid the whole situation.
Can you share with us some examples of the things that your members are saying to you about the incident and their concerns around it?
It's a wide spectrum. Some people realize, you know, based on the police statements that it was a targeted issue, you know, it was a targeted violent issue, and that person was, you know, the people that came down were not local people, according to the police, and it was they were known to him, so they feel better about that it's not a random shooting. So they're moving on with their lives, and all the way up to, you know, severe condolences for the people that knew him personally and know he has a family. And there's a, you know, there's an innocent person there, or a couple people that are in his family that are now mourning the loss of a spouse and a father. So, you know, very big range of reactions downtown, to be honest.
Is there any patterns or anything that keeps coming up that is significant in your mind?
No, we trust we support the police and we work closely with them, and we trust the chief from, based on all of our history with them, that this was a isolated incident, and we are confident telling people that they should come back downtown and attend the events and attend the regular shopping downtown and visit their regular places of shopping, because this was a one-off and it's done, and there's no ongoing issue or safety issue according to the police.
Now, in terms of planning going forward, are you holding any meetings or doing any strategic planning around this at all in the near future?
I talked to all of the board people. We are going to bring it up as an agenda item at our next regular meeting, which is Thursday, I believe. And we are going to brainstorm solutions for making people feel safe and to make people aware of what the actual situation was as best we can, so that they can feel safe coming down to the next events, which are, you know, right in July already. So upping our promotion maybe in terms of marketing for those events, so that we have a good turnout and people are what we can do to move on as a group, as a downtown business improvement area, and move on to the next and address the issue in any ways that we come up with.
If you could sit down in front of any person that might want to come to the downtown and you could speak to them directly, what would you want to say to them?
I live in Coburg. I work in the downtown every day, and it is a great little community. We have a lot of really nice places to shop and visit and eat and spend your time. And I am part of the DBIA board because I believe in it, and I live it and I work it. And so I can give them a firsthand account of how nice it is to be in downtown Coburg and enjoy our community.
That was Keith Herring, co-chair of the DBIA. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.